Now, revival is not just some scheduled series of meetings. And that's what we need to, you know, we call it revival meeting, revival week. But we have to come to a biblical concept of what revival means. It's not just an evangelistic effort. Now, a lot of these things happen. Were you able to get on? Thank you. A lot of these things happen during revival. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, obviously the church has to get together and preach, you know. If revival is going to come, obviously revival can result in souls, you know, souls being brought into the kingdom, God saving souls. And it's not just securing an outside preacher to lead in an attempt to stir things up spiritually amongst the believers. It is not publicity, special events, good preaching, heartwarming singing, affirmative appeal, fervent appeals to the lost. It's not decisions nor additions to the church, nor even renewed enthusiasm by cold believers. It is much more than any of that. You see, that's what we need to understand. Revival is more than that. Because we could say that all these things are man's efforts, right? We schedule a meeting. We secure the preacher. We knock on doors. We invite. The preacher prepares, right? Specials are sung. That's all our efforts. And that's good. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but we can't say because of that, that's revival. What it is the biblical concept. So we see the meaning of revival, the contemporary concept. I don't know how much is in your outline. Letter A. Number one is the meaning of revival. Letter A is the contemporary concept. Letter B is the biblical concept. So let's understand what revival is. It is a sovereign work of God among his people. Thus the prophet prays, revive thy work. You know, revival is a work of God. Amen. It isn't the work of man. We need to plead God. We need to call on God. We need to pray. We need to ask God to bring revival. And then we need to know what it really is. And it is a work of God. It's not the work of man. As much as I would love to have revival, and that's the way it is, sometimes you go to a church, and I preach missions conference up at Long Island Baptist, but I preach revival meeting up there about a year and a half ago. And really, the revival is because of the preparation of the hearts of the people that God can work. It's not really the preacher, you know. It's not really, you know, the meeting itself. It's God's work in hearts. That's revival. And we need to really recognize what revival is. And there, number two, it's the turning back of God's people unto himself. Whenever revival, let me just say, I've had a struggle yesterday and today of what I was going to say, what I'm going to preach today. And I was contemplating something, but I turned a different way. But let me just say something here. And I don't know how much of aware you are of what happened in Asbury, a college, and what people are saying about it. But as far as I can tell, it is not biblical revival. Because revival isn't just getting together and everyone singing songs. And then more people coming to sing songs. And that's where, you know, the modern concept of revival, please, don't think it is true revival, because you have to test everything by the Bible. that was kind of the message I was going, and I was going to explain what happened down there and what some of the reports are. But one of the things that is a mark of revival is a turning from sin, a repenting of sin, a brokenness. You know, it's not about love. See what I'm getting at? You know, the way things kicked off down there, I heard a lot. I looked into it myself, but I don't even know where it's at today. Don't get me wrong. But I do know that some guy got up and preached about love, you know, love God. And then everyone started staying around and, you know, singing. And that's basically the beginning of a revival, you know, love God and love, you know. And I'm not saying you can't get a message out of love God. And there's a lot in there about loving God, obviously. Turn from your idols, you know, turn from your wicked ways, turn. But Lamentation says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned, renew our days as of old. You know, that's what we need, to be turned back to God. And that's kind of, I know if you want to feel good, today wouldn't be a good day to be in church. If you want to feel good about yourself and feel good about what you've achieved and what your spiritual condition is, today wouldn't be a good day. But since you're here, you might as well stay. Amen. Because, you know, we need to consider our sin. We need to consider how much we fall short of what God wants us to do. We need to consider our disobedience to God. And that's where our messages are going today. I know what I'm preaching next hour. I'm praying about this evening. I have some ideas. So it's a turning back. We need to turn back to God. Where are we at today? What sins are we allowing in our lives that we become comforted, you know, we've learned to live with those sins in our lives and kind of justified our condition and kind of made excuses, you know, about, well, you know, everyone in the world today or everyone out there or everyone in church. So we're okay. The standard has always been Jesus Christ and the glory of God, not your fellow brother or sister sitting next to you, or even your husband or wife, or even your pastor. The standard is Christ. The standard is perfection. Be perfect, God says, as I am perfect. Be holy as I am holy, holy, God says. So we can't get set in our ways to where we think, hey, everything's okay now, when we're really not okay. Turn thou us. You know, if we start praying these prayers, amen, revive thy work. Turn thou us. Isaiah 32 is an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon a wilting vineyard. And remember, that's kind of the picture of Israel, was a vineyard that was just kind of dead and dried and because of their sin. And then God, in Isaiah 32, says, until thy spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, until the spirit be poured out on from on high, we're going to continue in this wilted state. But if your spirit is poured out, there will be a fruitful field. We will have fruit. And so, revival comes when we have fresh spiritual life, a fresh walk with God, a renewed vision, a renewed commitment. John 10:10 speaks of the abundant life. Amen. Jesus said, yeah, I've come to give you life. Amen. Praise God for eternal life. Amen. And he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is what we need from revival, from God's work in us, an abundant life. A life, as you know, a member of the Spirit, as Jesus said, when the Spirit would come and he'd be like rivers of water pouring out of your belly. You know, the idea is just that overflow of the Spirit's presence, that overflow of Christ's presence and the life he offers in us, that's revival. So when we think of revival, it's an extraordinary work of God producing extraordinary results among both backslidden believers and as well as dead, careless sinners. God can do a work in both, and that's what we need to pray for. So the meaning of revival, number two, the need for revival. How do we know we need revival? When there is a dullness and an apathy towards God and spiritual things. Remember there the parable of the sower? What happens to some of the seed? Well, it's very clear that everyone has a different way of responding to the seed, right? Because of the condition of the heart. And it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So brethren, our hearts, amen, it's the condition of the heart, and remember, the parable of the sower is right here in the same chapter. And think of verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, how much does the Word of God impact us on a daily basis or even on a weekly basis? You know, we can hear the Word and then we go back and the cares of this life take over and nothing changes. That's not what God wants among his people. You know, he really wants us to be in fellowship with him. He really wants us to walk with him on a daily basis. He really wants to work in our lives and fill us with his Spirit and produce something in us that only he can do. But he definitely is not going to work in a heart that is dull, you know, of hearing. Ears that are dull of hearing. A heart that is waxed gross or, you know, basically you can't penetrate it. It's, we know the Bible talks about hardened hearts, and it does talk about the deceitfulness of sin right down here in verse 22, the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of sin. And Hebrews 3 says the deceitfulness of sin is what hardens our hearts, brethren. When there is a hardness towards authority and rebukes, we need a, you know, how do you receive rebuke? How do you receive authority in your life. Proverbs 6, we are studying Proverbs, reading Proverbs, studying Proverbs. 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So to be reproved is the way of life. To be reproved by God's word, to be instructed by God's word. The last time I remember as a pastor is to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. But if you don't like the pastor and you don't like him telling you what you don't want to hear, because you'd rather not hear it, it's uncomfortable to you, then are you really in a place where God's working in your life? Or have you just shut off the work of God? Because if you can't receive a rebuke from a pastor, you're not receiving God in your life. Proverbs 15:32. Visitor coming in. Proverbs 15:32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Amen. So we need to have an open heart to God's work in our lives, to God's authority, God's rebukes when they come to us. Amen. When you feel like your life is empty of God's power and presence, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:23. Good morning. Come on in. We're in the Sunday school hour. We'll be finishing here in a few minutes, and then we're moving into our preaching service. So you came at a great time. Deuteronomy chapter 28:23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. You see, remember blessings and cursings, right? That's what this book, God talked about his new covenant and his that commitment of that new covenant. Moses was reviewing with the people before they went in to the promised land after the 40 years of wilderness wandering. And what is God warning them? No. The Lord's going to make thy head, the heaven over you as brass, and the earth under you shall be iron. I mean, think about that picture. We need revival when we are addicted to certain sins and an easy target for the devil. When there's no real victory in our lives, we need revival. 1 Corinthians 3 speaks of this. You know, the Corinthians and their condition before God. Practically speaking, a lot of 1 Corinthians was just corrective. Not, you know, here's an example, follow them. Well, you can follow the correction that they were given, amen. But you couldn't follow their example. And that's what Paul's dealing with in chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So he's saying when these things are present, you're not really being a good testimony for Christ. You're not walking as a spiritual person, as a saved person. You're walking as men, as an unbeliever. So there should not be envying and strife and divisions in God's church. Now, obviously, we're speaking of so many other things. This is kind of an example of a passage that they... But remember, when you're addicted to certain sins and an easy target for the devil, there's no real victory. We need revival. You know your own life. You know where you're falling short, what you're not doing for God, what sins you're of the world you're involved in. That's when we need revival. The meaning of revival, the need, and then the purpose, and I think we'll have to end it there. Well, let me just go quickly. Number three, the purpose of revival. Well, I think what it does is restores Christians to their peak performance. Amen? Like reviving an old car, rescuing a person who drowned, and reviving them. God wants to revive us. Amen? He wants to bring us to a place where we are truly, we're fine, we're tuned up again. Amen? We're in tune with Him, and we're at our peak performance as Christians. We're the best we can be for Christ. Obviously, revival is to replace the works of the flesh with the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? And that's really, that's walking with God is walking in the Spirit. We need to have, if we're truly filled with the Spirit, then we won't be fulfilling these sins of the flesh. It's just that simple. I say it's simple. It's that simple to understand, but to do it, you need revival, amen? To bring true unity into a church, amen? To save our homes and our community from the judgment of God, amen? Certainly we pray for revival for America. Why? Because we realize these homes are falling apart. Our communities are falling apart. Cities are being destroyed. Our country. That's what he said. He prayed, revive thy work. And then number four, the cost of revival. And I realize, I know, maybe this is why revival doesn't come, brethren, is because we don't want to pay the price. There's a personal cost, letter A, and there's a prayer cost, amen? Yes, the loss of time, the loss of sleep, the loss of pride, amen? The loss of food, the loss of control, meaning you're not controlling your life. God's in control now. The loss of anything that might block God's work in your life, amen? There's a personal cost. Are we willing to even pay any of these to get revival? And then there's a prayer cost. We know that prayer is really the key. Every genuine revival started with prayer. That is a fact. But not just any prayer. Selfless prayer. No mention of what you need. Only that it is a reviving of your heart and soul. Earnest prayer, strong determination, holy prayer, cleansing of this temple, amen. The Bible and the record of history reveal that there has never been such a thing as a prayerless revival. The church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. When God is about to do a mighty new thing, He always sets His people praying. Brethren, will you pray for revival truly this week? Will you spend some time even today? I don't know your schedules, but let's put God first. Let's make things that are important to Him important to us. And then if they are, make it a priority, brethren, because that's what God wants. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day and for the beginning of our revival week in Your house. Father, speak to us even out of this lesson today. Help us to go back and review it in our hearts and our minds. Find out where we stand before You, Lord. Help us to take some time in prayer some time reflecting upon our spiritual lives, our some areas that need to change. And Father, we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our midst, in our hearts. Father, bless the morning hour as we get ready to preach your word. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill me. Control me, Lord. Control my thoughts, my words. May all that we say and do in this place bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take a few minutes. You got about 6 minutes. Stretch your legs and get ready for the morning service.